Let me guess. Have you ever walked into an operatory and have a patient that wants you to fix one tooth, but it's a front tooth? On top of that, they're picky. The single central is, quite frankly, probably the most difficult procedure in dentistry. This week, I'm talking to one of our 3D Summit speakers who has honestly pretty much mastered the single central incisor, Dr. Dhaval Patel. Dhaval, how are you doing, my man?
Good T, how have you been?
I've been fantastic. I'm trying to keep up. I think there was a time in life where you were trying to keep up with me, and now I'm trying to keep up with you. Clinically, I want to be as good as you, man.
I don't think so, dude. The hierarchy is you're always here and I'm always following in your footsteps, so.
No, please don't do that. Don't do that. Well, I have so much. Number one, thank you for coming on the podcast. Thank you for agreeing to speak at our 3D Summit, April the 30th through May 1st in Orlando, Florida, 2026. And I think your topic, the single central incisor, is a timeless topic because it's that restoration, it's that service, that procedure that just gives you fear and anxiety. Whether you're 1 year in, 25 years in, 40 years in, digital dentistry, analog dentistry, master ceramist, self ceramist, it's one of the most difficult procedures in dentistry. Tell me your thoughts on that.
You know what? You're right. I honestly still struggle with single central. You said I've mastered the art of single
I
central.
said you're pretty close, okay?
I don't know if I'm pretty close. I'm getting there, but every time I think I'm good at it, you'll get a single central that will throw a curveball at you, and you're still trying to figure out how to go about it. However, just like everything in life, what I've figured out, and I've learned a lot of these things from you, is you need to have a workflow for everything. You need to have a process. And I keep telling myself, trust the process that you've built for yourself when doing single central. I always start with pictures, photographs. You taught me very, very long ago that, hey, the number one thing, the number one technology that's going to help you do dentistry better, sell more dentistry, get better results, it is the digital camera. And I use it a whole lot. So I would say step number one would always be taking pictures and planning the single central. There's so many variables when it comes to single centrals, right? We all know this. What are you replacing? Are you replacing a PFM? What are you matching? What is the stump looking like? How much space do you have? What is the occlusion looking like? If you restore that single central and keep it symmetrical, are you going to end up with the diastema? Are you going to close the gaps? There's so much to look at. And once I have the pictures and I plan that, step two is always going to be preparation. And what I mean by preparation is just not how you prepare the tooth, but also how you set up the case. How is the tissue symmetrical? Are you going to have to do some gingivectomy, gingivoplasty, something on those lines? Depending on the gaps, are you going to have to prep any deeper just to get a good emergence? And then it's all based on good anatomical reduction. Are you looking to change the position of the tooth? Are you looking to keep the position of the tooth as is? So that all falls in the preparation. Step three, I
So
would say.
hold on, Dhaval. You lost people. You're too excited.
Am I?
You're too excited. I know you love this. Let's back up for a second, okay? Patient walks in. Okay, so I'm gonna focus on it from the business side of things, okay? So number one, I want to frame this properly for you. You're a PPO dentist in a PPO environment
I'll take it back.
doing.
We have PPO and an HMO dentist, so
Okay, so
give me that
even worse.
even worse, yeah.
Even worse. They're a PPO and HMO dentist. How do you structure your fees, or do you structure your fees that allow this to be, I don't want to even word, profitable wording and not overly time consuming on this? Let's start there. Let's start at step zero.
So, well, as far as fees are concerned, I pretty much go by what the insurance dictates, and that's where the efficiency steps in. So if I'm allowed to charge an upgrade depending on the insurance, I will go ahead and do that. If not, my goal is to be as efficient as possible. And I've changed my workflow over the years. For the longest time, I used to try and finish the case the very same day. But now what I'm trying to do is, obviously, a lot of my audience know that I have been going into 5-axis milling now. And what I'm trying to do now is I would temporize the patient and bring the patient back. Now, what that allows me to do is it allows me to mill multiple restorations with different translucencies or different materials, just get a few different restorations ready. And when the patient comes back for the delivery, I'll try those restorations in. I will make sure, pick the one that fits the patient best in terms of value. And then it's a simple 20-minute process from then on for me to characterize the case. So,
let's hold on. You're getting too excited again. So here's my advice to our listeners on this. You've got to charge an appropriate fee for this level of work, even in a PPO environment. Okay, you've got to charge an aesthetic upgrade. You've got to charge something to justify the time and the technology and milling multiple materials. So we've got to be reasonable and honorable to our practice. Now, so with that being said, let's step back, okay? I walk into an operatory, I take my photos, let's pretend the patient gives me all the money in the world, okay, whatever it is. What do you think the most one thing that an office misses or a dentist misses when thinking about doing the single central? What is probably the biggest pitfall or the biggest mistake that you've made or you see offices make when doing a single central? Well, on the planning side of things.
I'll start with myself because I've made several mistakes and I do a lot of training on this. And I see the attendees who come to my workshops and I ask them, I think most people can be taught a lot of things, but unless they are taking pictures and they're planning the case, they're thinking through the case ahead of time. If they're not doing that, I think they're not in the game. So I would say,
what are the few things, planning things that you're, so like, let's just pretend our person listening takes the picture. They have no earthly idea what they're looking at. What would be just a couple of things that you would look at in that picture? Just assume the dentist is not doing high-level dentistry already. They're, you know, need to level up.
Well, let's set up a case, right? Let's say you're replacing tooth number 8, or you're putting a crown on tooth number 8. The first thing you'd have to look at is, what are you going to match to? What's on number 9? Is that a natural tooth? Is that
a natural tooth.
Let's say it's a natural tooth, right? So now let's go back to number 8. So if it's a natural tooth, then you're looking at, okay, is there a lot of characterization on the tooth? And when I say characterization, I mean two things. Is there a lot of anatomy going on, like a lot of grooves on that tooth? And is there a lot of colors? Is there natural colors on the tooth? So that's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
That tells me how much time do I have to dedicate to this particular case when it's going to come to characterizing. You know, once I get the form ready, once I get the shape ready, once I have the exact shape in my milled crown, then it's going to be the part where I characterize it, right? So if it's going to be an extremely difficult one, then sometimes you may need to put the crown in the oven one or two times. However, with the advent of newer materials like the Mio 850 and the Mio aesthetic kit that we have at our disposal, I have found, compared to what I was doing in the past, most of my cases, I would say I get them done in one fire. I mean, for the people, for the analog audience listening, if what they don't know what firing means is how many times are you taking the crown and putting it in the oven? So,
So that's referring to color. That's chroma, translucency, you know, basically shade tab. Let's call it the shade tab. I think you touched on something that was very important. It took me some time, and I learned this in direct composite dentistry. Earlier in my career, is you can match the color perfect, you can match the shape perfect, but if you don't get the texture of the tooth right, the reflections don't come through. So you had mentioned in there that when you're talking about matching, you're talking about one, the color, and then two is the surface texture. So what would be some things that you can do to kind of get surface texture a little bit closer between number 8 and number 9?
Okay, let's back up a little first. Okay, perfect. Before the surface texture, if we can get the shape of our contralateral tooth, let's say about 90% right, and for CEREC users or exocad users, you know, using the copy and mirror technique, I don't know exactly. I'm new to exocad, and you can kind of correct me on that. I don't know exactly what the term of matching the contralateral tooth in exocad is, but these softwares have made it so easy where you can get the shape of your restoration almost 90 to 95%. Perfect compared to the contralateral tooth, right? So once
So for those that don't know, you click the in exocad, you click the tooth, it literally copies it and mirrors it, and then you kind of position it back into place, almost like setting a denture tooth, but you're copying the neighboring tooth or the opposite tooth on the other side of the arch. And CEREC is, you know, a little bit more difficult, but very, very similar in that.
So once you get that, I call it the post-mill contouring technique. Basically, I two things. One is a color pencil, just to make sure my line angles are symmetrical. And a lot of analog dentists, line angles are your mesial and your distal line angle for the most part. And then I use a very simple method of just rubbing the articulating paper on the facial surface of your contralateral tooth and on the facial surface of your restoration and just observing the anatomy, the texture on both the teeth. And then with just the help of a few simple burrs, trying to recreate the texture on your contralateral tooth onto your restoration. So if you're seeing a depression, just create a depression. If you're seeing a convexity, just go ahead and create a convexity. If you're seeing some texturing in terms of striations or something like that, just go ahead and create some striations. And what I've learned over the years is it doesn't have to be perfect. All you need to do is kind of create an illusion where it looks very close to the contralateral tooth. That's it.
So for those listening, you might be wondering, hey, if I copy the exact tooth, the neighboring tooth, how does all the anatomy and everything not come out perfectly? And that's a milling issue. So depending on the milling that you're doing, what burrs you're using, what material you're using, it may not mill in the exact detail of the digital design. So that's when you have to manually accentuate the design. So as we move forward, I want to point out three things that Dhaval talked about. Number one was matching the shade. That's your gingival chroma, that's your incisal translucency, that's your general shade value of the tooth. Number two, he mentioned line angles. Line angles is taking a tooth that may be 10 millimeters wide and making it look 11 millimeters wide, or making it look 9 or 8 millimeters wide by simply moving in the line angles and the curves to make teeth look symmetrical or make them match each other. And then the third thing he talked about was facial texturing. And that's really about making teeth reflect and bounce light off so that way it looks very nice. And I think honestly, if we can work on getting those three things right, the shade pretty close, and none of them have to be perfect. The shade pretty close, the line angles pretty close, the surface texture pretty close. You're 90% of the way there on single centrals. You know, and I think that's three real keys. And when Dhaval's speaking at the summit, he'll be sharing exactly this through pictures, through exact techniques. And if you want to learn more, he does these single central anterior workshops throughout the country. And so you're welcome to, certainly I've been through the program. It's made me a better dentist. I would encourage anybody listening, especially if you're a CEREC user, to consider attending his anterior program. It's, in my opinion, the best anterior program out there for CEREC users, certainly. So, Dhaval, the next question. So you started dentistry not just fully digital. You were analog when you first started?
For a few months, I would say.
So how is digital? Okay, let's look at this differently then. You've been digital for a long time.
I would say
digital dentistry.
Digital all my dental life. Let's just put it that.
Digital dentistry today looks very different than it did 12, 13, 14 years ago when you started. Okay, so how has digital changed? How have you changed with digital? And how has digital changed how you approach these single central cases?
Okay, so I alluded to this earlier is I was always of the mindset that I have to finish the case same day. But as I'm getting more and more busier, I'm also trying to look at efficiency. And obviously, I have a more discerning eye as well. You know, there were cases that I felt were adequate back 5, 7, 8, 10 years ago, which I would look at it right now, and I think I could have done a lot better. So the way I'm approaching cases now is I would prep the tooth. I would go ahead and use my CEREC and make a very decent temp out of a milled material. And that also helps me kind of dial in my design in a way and put that as a temporary and let the patient go. Okay, because I just want to get the case started. And, you know, then what I'll do is before I bring the patient back, obviously based on my findings, based on the pictures, based on the planning that I have, I will look at the case and I will mill two or three restorations based on the translucency that I'm looking for. And typically what I have learned is anything that you do to a milled restoration will drop the value of that restoration. For example, you dry trine, and for people listening, dry trine is basically, you know, when you don't have any cement or any trine paste, a restoration can look different. But the moment you try it in with a trine paste or even water, it will look different. the moment you polish it, it's going to go ahead and drop in value. It's going to look darker. The moment, even if you put clear glaze over it, it can look darker. If you put any sort of colors, it can look darker. If you cement it with any shade of cement, it can be clear cement as well. It's going to look darker because the stump is going to shine through. So one thing I always do is I mill the crown in a slightly higher value than my target value because I know it's going to drop. And if I'm not 100% sure, I'll kind of mill a couple. For example, if my target is A1, I might mill it in an A1, a B1, and maybe a BL4, like a bleach shade, right? And then when the patient comes back on the delivery appointment, now my shape, based on my planning, based on my software, is pretty much done. I've milled these restorations. Now it's a simple thing of trying all of these crowns in and figuring out which one has the best value. I'll show it to the patient. Obviously, I'll take pictures myself. And it's a very simple process. It takes me about 5 to 7 minutes to do this. Once that happens, because of my planning, I've already have the colors in place, right? In my mind, I know what colors I'm going to use. I use Mio system, the Mio 850 and the aesthetic system. I'll bring it chair side. I know there are 2 or 3, maybe 4, 5 colors that I need to use. I'll bring it chair side. And it's a simple process of intraoral characterization based on the pictures and the patient in the chair.
I want to point out something, a few things that Dhaval talked about that I think are very important. Number one is the most expensive thing we have is chair time. So if I can mill 2 restorations and maybe it costs me $20 extra, but it saves me another appointment or sending something back, totally worth it. And so when I've milled back in my day when I was doing single centrals, and I'm not doing them hardly that much anymore, but sometimes, again, this will date me a little bit, I might mill a B1 Empress, a B1 Emax LT, a B1 Emax MT. I very rarely did singles in HT, but I might mill 3 different translucencies. And I think you had talked about that earlier, 3 different shades.
You would surprise how HT could work really well in older patients. I was of the belief that HT doesn't work well, but you have older patients with a lot of gray shades, with a lot of...
on a lower value, absolutely.
And HT will just knock it out of the park. You use an MT there and you could struggle. So at the summit, when I go over my lecture, I will show the viewers and the attendees, you know, pick material based on age group and based on a whole lot of different factors, right? But good. HT is a translucency that I use a whole lot for my single centrals.
Absolutely. And so he talked about that. And then, so we have to understand that chair time is valuable. So we have to know that different materials, having those ready. And then the other thing that he talked about that is unbelievably valuable is in the mouth staining and glazing. So it's really in the mouth staining where you have the tooth on you have the restoration on the tooth, and you literally take your brush and you kind of do it right next to the tooth so you can get the best match. You can feather things down. You can increase your yellow, decrease your yellow, and then taking it off and firing it. I've always found that when you do it in the mouth, you get the best results because you're seeing it directly next to the tooth. Is that what you're referring to, Dhaval?
100%. And, you know, it blows my mind when people think, wow, you do it in the mouth. I'm like, tell me another way you'd want to do it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, if you are a CAT chem dentist and if you have the privilege of the patient being in the chair, why would you not utilize that benefit and put it on the patient's tooth itself and visualize the colors right next to the tooth that you're trying to match it to?
Yeah, it makes things easier, honestly. So, all right. So I want to a couple more topics on this one, okay? Because I want people to come to the summit. I want them to get to meet you. I want them to ask you questions. I want them to hang out with you. You know, things that a podcast can teach you only so much, right? When it comes to CE and learning single centrals, what would you say is, where do people learn things incorrectly? What is something they learn wrong or don't learn correctly when it comes to 1 or 2 unit anterior cases?
Where do they learn it wrong?
No, like what are some of the things? What are the pitfalls that people make in learning or teaching single centrals?
You know, I can't comment on what pitfalls people make on teaching them, but, you know, I have a process that I teach and I feel I teach from a perspective of how I've learned it and how I practice it. So I pretty much teach what I preach. And I practice that daily. It has to be a process. It's my 5-step process. I'll kind of quickly repeat that one more.
Yeah, please do.
Okay, step one is pictures and planning. Okay. If you don't take pictures and if you're not planning the quiz, you're not in the game. Okay. Step two is preparation. You know, how much tooth structure do you need to remove? And that's based on the position and the shape of the tooth. That's based on the color of the tooth. That's based on what you're trying to match it to. For example, if it's a nice color on the contralateral tooth and your tooth itself is not super dark, you can be very minimal with your preparation. But if it's a dark stump, then you're going to have to prep a little more to kind of hide the dark stump. Are you going to be using opaquers? Are you going to be putting a deeper margin to get good emergence? Are you going to have to do anything to the tissue? That all falls under preparation. Step three is your shape and form, which pretty much falls under the software. How are you going to, what design methods within the software, whether that be CEREC or Exocad, I don't care what you're using. You know, you can be any CAD CAM dentist, I don't care, that you're utilizing to try and match to the contralateral tooth, right? That's your step three. And again, the goal is to not spend a ton of time on the design and on the software, but get it to the point where it looks about 85-90%, you know, compared to the contralateral tooth. And if you can get it to 100, even better. But remember, you know, the shortcoming is the milling. Can the milling machine mill it exactly like you've designed? Step four is your post-mill contouring, which is finding your line angles and the anatomy and the texturing is your step four. And then step five is finishing. And what falls under finishing is either you're going to polish the restoration or you're going to characterize the restoration. And if you're going to characterize the restoration, depending on the complexity of the case, how many fires do you need? 1, 2, maybe 3 on very few cases. But that's pretty much my 5-step process. You follow those 5 steps and I can guarantee you that you will have a much better result compared to you just doing a case mindlessly. I think a lot of people look at a single central and they have no plan in mind. They just prep the tooth and then they figure out, I don't even have the material. They don't even understand materials, you know. Do they know the difference between high translucency, low translucency, and medium translucency? Do people realize that there is a great block like Empress Multi that we can utilize and simply polish it? There's a host of different materials out there, Vita Mark II, you know, and those have served us very well over the last few decades. So all of that, I think it needs to be the step-by-step process. And within each step, you need actionable items. These are the things that you look out for at each step. Now, and then once you have this learning, if you keep practicing, if you keep doing cases, and if you just kind of drink the Kool-Aid and just follow the process, I can guarantee you that you will have a better result.
So here's what I heard, everybody, is Dhaval, number one, is humble. But what separates him, it's a cookbook. It's a cookbook process. Step one, step two, step three, step four, step five. And honestly, if you evaluate your work before you start by answering those 5 steps, and then if you're really interested in getting a lot better, if you relook at your work after you're finished through those 5 steps, you will become a phenomenal clinician and you will start doing way better dentistry and way more aesthetic dentistry. So it's the recipe, it's the process. It's kind of like what we teach at 3D Dentists from a business side of things is it's here's the process, here's the 4-step process to gain case acceptance. Here's the 5-step workflow to make single centrals, single incisors predictable and precise with the outcomes. And that's what separates people.
Let me interject right there and kind of tell the audience what I learned from you. If you remember back in the day when I learned the integration of CBCT and planning with you, to this date, I still follow your advice and I still go ahead and print out exactly, you know, the protocol, the checklist, and I put it right next to, or I tape it on the wall, just like you showed me and just like you taught me. And even though my software may have changed, even though instead of milling, now I'm printing my guides, but the process remains the same. I have it right there in front of me so I know which drill I'm going to pick up. You know, my assistant knows whether you taught me whether you're going to punch or you're going to use, are you going to flap, right? And my assistant knows to set up for a blade. I write those things down manually on that piece of paper and tape it right there. And if I don't do that, I think I'm more likely to make mistakes, even though I may have planned the case perfectly. So that's a very important piece in the whole cogwheel and just making sure I do that every single time. So I follow your advice on that.
Well, thank you, Dhaval. Look, I believe a checklist, you know, for those of you that have read the Checklist Manifesto, you understand how important a process is. And honestly, to me, the process isn't for the dentist. The process is honestly for the team members. Because for us, the dentist, honestly, these processes are baked into what we do after some point in time. But being able to give your team the process to let them know what's happening, know what steps you're going to take, what order you're going to do things, gives them confidence and allows them to support you better. And honestly, allows them to help you become and do better dentistry. So that's important. So Davil, a couple of things before we get done. What do you think somebody coming to the summit and hearing your program, what will be some actionable takeaways they can expect? And then for people that want to get to know you more, interact with you more, learn from you, where can they do that?
Well, let me answer your first question first. So you said, what are the actionable items they can take away from my talk? I'm going to break this five-step process down for them. I'm going to show them every single actionable step that they need to take within the five steps and give them a cookbook recipe on how to deal with these single central. Now, once you have that, I mean, it's up to them on how they implement that in their practice based on what kind of software they're using. And like I said, I can guarantee you if they follow the process and they make it a point to practice perfection every single time, or at least close to perfection, they'll get great results. Where they can reach out to me, they can check my workout on my website. I write blogs. It's keepcadcamming.com, keepcadcaming.com. It's the same on Facebook. I have a group called Keep Cat Camming. You can follow me on Instagram, Keep Cat Camming. I also have a YouTube channel, Keep Cat Camming. And if you need to reach out to me, you can email me at davalds@yahoo.com.
Well, you had us until you said at yahoo.com.
I guess so. That's fine. Yeah.
Like, dude, come on, man. At this point, why can't you get keepcadcamming@gmail.com and let that be your email address?
Whatever I want, but there's too many people that know me and everybody has the Yahoo address, and I don't have the mental strength and energy to reach out to each one of them and change it.
There's this thing called forwarding, just so you know.
It doesn't matter, dude. I'm just going to live with it. I'll die with Yahoo. It's okay.
Well, Davil's too humble. Davil, what is your Facebook group up to now? 28,000, 30,000 people?
36,000.
1,000 people on your group. Davil runs that like a maestro. He is active, creates a very open community.
So you are technically the number two of the group. And I don't know, when was the last time you checked out the group?
I checked out the group just 2 days ago. I went in and left. But I'm going to get better. I'm going to get better. I promise.
I need to take you off your admin duties. I mean, you're still the admin in the group.
I know.
The group, I need to kind of chuck him off of his duties.
I'm not a good admin anymore. Well, Davil, thank you so much for participating. I'm excited to have you there. The one thing that you didn't mention is you have your own Keep Cad Camming meeting. It's in October 2020. What are the exact dates, Davil?
So, yeah, October 15th, 16th, 17th in Austin, Texas, the third annual Keep Cad Camming meeting. What's different about this meeting is not only are you going to hear from industry experts on the latest in CAD/CAM technology, but we're going to have 10 hands-on workshops. And this is going to be a three-day meeting. If you want to deep dive into the latest stuff in CAD/CAM, come to the meeting, listen to the experts, and learn everything about 3D printing or five-axis milling, or just we'll have workshops on mastering the single central if you are not good enough on prepping for partial coverage restorations like inlays and onlays. If you want to learn how to 3D print dentures and partials and veneers and prepless veneers, there is a workshop for everything that you want. It'll be there again, October 15, 16, 17 in Austin, Texas. And we will be putting out the links very soon within the next couple of weeks. For
instance. Yeah, absolutely. Davil, you're an amazing clinician, amazing dentist. I want everybody to come to the summit. It's going to be an amazing program. April 29th through May 1st, Orlando, Florida, 2026. Universal tickets are included for Thursday evening after the event. So I hope to see everybody there. If you want more information, visit www.3d-dentists.com.